Morning, guys. Y'all look so beautiful. I don't usually have this angle. I'm usually back there and I see your heads, the back of your heads. So definitely a different view for sure. Okay. Well, I'm Deb. I'm an overseer here at Northgate, and I'm not the eloquent speaker like our pastors, but I do study God's Word. I ponder what it is, and I try to apply it to my life. So I'll be up here speaking about that today. And us brethren have a very long tradition of sharing the pulpit. Since the time of our founders, we have been a community that seeks after and practices truth together. No one person is the authoritative voice, that's why there's several pastors and such, and truth is arrived at by group discussion and consent. Thus, we encourage one another to share God's truth and how his love is played out in our lives, so today I get this privilege to talk to you. But let me just open us up in prayer at this point. Father, Lord, we are so thankful and gracious that you're with us today. Lord, just help me to be able to convey what you've given me to share today, and help us to listen and just take a couple little nuggets to take home, Lord, because we know it's all about you and about how we are out in the community. So I thank you for being here, and I thank you for those that are in attendance. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Okay, so our current series is in the book of Proverbs, and it's one of the wisdom books. And it's a dusty old book that was written centuries ago. But we still seek to see what the wisdom is in Proverbs, as our human condition hasn't really changed much. What was written then is relevant now. And these reflections are mostly of Solomon, but there's a few others that are in there. And they're God-inspired. They're carefully crafted little tidbits that flesh out our human frailty, shed light on our values, our moral conduct, and right behavior. And these little gems are general principles for living. They're not guarantees or promises. They're just principles. And Chin has shared with us the first week when we started our series here that Proverbs 1 is an exhortation to embrace wisdom, and it's a rebuke to those who ignore her. And as I reread in preparation, I could not help but feel convicted. Convicted at times where I knew God's wisdom, yet I hadn't really internalized it. Often in my youth, I would go as far as I could the other way. Deb's this away. That's the way it was for me growing up. So as I was reading, yes, I was convicted, but I was encouraged, because the last verse in chapter 1 says, "But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." As I read that, I was struck by God's generosity. Right here, God was laying out hope. And when we listen to him, we can live in safety. There is no fear, no fear of any lasting harm. Nothing can keep us forever. And today's topic is about generosity. We're going to talk about God's generosity and how we can respond to each other in that way. Now, we know God's generosity did not begin with Proverbs, as we can see his posture toward us from the very beginning. One of my favorite narratives is in the garden, and Genesis 2 tells us that the Lord made all kinds of trees, some that were pleasing to the eye and good to look at. Oh, good to look at, good to eat. That's it. Good to look at, good to eat. In the middle of the garden, there were two trees. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told Adam, "You must not eat from the knowledge tree or you will surely die." And as we know, Adam didn't listen to the warning. Adam ate from the tree. And then Genesis 3 goes on to describe for us the fall of mankind and how sin entered into the world. That damage inflicted by sin cannot be overstated. Adam's action brought sorrow and death into what God had designed for joy and life. So that action changed things for us for sure. And in 3:22, God said, "Man has not become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So God banished Adam. He sent him away from the garden. He placed cherubim and flashing sword going back and forth. So the tree of life was guarded and Adam couldn't get to it. You can imagine how scary that would have been. Now, when Adam sinned, he and us became separated from God. If he had eaten from the tree of life at that point, after he had sinned, he would have lived forever in that state. But God did not allow that. God did not want eternal separation between us and him. God generously deterred Adam, and in his grace, he did not allow man to be blocked into eternal condemnation. His mercy shined all throughout the devastation, as he did not intend for us to live forever in that sinful state. Now, as we know, God's generosity did not stop in the garden. His grace, mercy, and compassion for us, his children, can be found in every single book of the Bible. And while many of the books look different and they're written different ways, they're all interconnected, and they're the story of God, his love for us, and for all things. And when we ponder these ancient words, we can come to understand more about him and his care. We can have but just one response, that is that we too are to be generous. One response, we too are to be generous. So God invites us to be open-handed with all he's given us. He equips us and entrusts us to be his good stewards. And 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Now, us brethren, we got a long history of displaying God's generosity. There are many examples of sacrificial care from the very beginning with those who had little to share and how they often shared with those who had even less. And one of our core brethren values states, we recognize our responsibility to act as stewards and all that God has given us, the church. The ultimate goal of our stewardship is to bear witness to God's kingdom throughout creation. This commitment to stewardship extends to all areas of our life, all areas of our life together. Now, we are consider ourselves to be servants of both God and people. And to be said servants, he equips us. He gives us time, treasure, and talents. And how we use our resources is just one of the ways to show gratitude for all that he's given us. Now, the first thing we'll look at is time. A man's time is finite. It's an unknown commodity. No one knows how much time they have. And even when we do our very best to plan, schedule, and arrange this time, it doesn't come out as expected. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Yes, life's full of distraction. Only God can see the full scope of our days, and it's he who plans and provides accordingly. I'm going to share a little story. In 2019, I had a little cancer right here on my nose, and I had an early morning surgery in Turlock. I had to get up and be out the door like 5 in the morning to make the surgery time. And my friend Bonnie, who, you know, has taken me to a couple other procedures, she was busy that day. She couldn't take me. Bonnie's the type that, you know, is always caring for everybody. And then our sweet Nancy back there, my dear friend, she would like to take me, but she was teaching at the school at that time, and it was testing, so she didn't really want to get out of it. She needed to be there, but she said, "Deb, if I really need to, I would take you." But even Pastor Miles had to be in San Francisco. There was no one to take me. You get the idea. I was wondering if I was going to be driving myself. And the clinic was like, "No, you cannot drive yourself." So I'm in my small community group, and I'm discussing my dilemma. And while I was sitting there, a woman that I barely know says, "I will take you." And I said, "Oh, no, thank you. That's really kind of you, but no, thank you." Because I was thinking, she's got 3 kids. She's got a job. She does volunteer work. She didn't have time to take me. So again, she offered, and I politely said no. The truth is, I didn't want to burden her. Well, the next morning, I was praying, "Lord, please, please give me a ride." You can imagine. And in my mind, I heard him say, "God, Deb, I did give you a ride. What's wrong with you? You're so prideful. You can't accept what I give you." Oops. So I promptly called her, and we went off at the time. She collected me. We had a pleasant time together, and I really enjoyed getting to know her some. Now, it was a lesson for me, but it was an opportunity for her. And I try to remember her kindness and follow that on. Now, that kind woman is Leanna Rubio. She's not here today, or I'd make her wave at y'all, but she's off on vacation. And on that day, she was an active representation of Galatians 6:2 that says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Leanna carried my burden. She was showing the love of Christ to me. And Proverbs 19:17 tells us also, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. And I have faith that God is blessing Leanna because of her many kindnesses. So I ask, with whom is God inviting you to be generous with your time? Where do you see opportunities? I'm sure they're out there. Secondly, we'll talk about treasure, because God's also given us treasure. In the last two Sundays, Chin has talked a couple sermons about the evils and blessings of money. Today, we're not going to talk about your earnings. Today, we're going to talk about cinnamon rolls. Last spring, I was really enjoying Chit Chat cinnamon rolls. And I've mentioned these little beauties before. If you know me, you know I really like them. And I found myself going for coffee and rolls quite often. And more than once, a little tug on my conscience saying, Deb, do you really need to eat those cinnamon rolls? And quite honestly, those little treats were not the best option for me, someone who's supposed to be on Weight Watchers. So often, I'd be driving home, and there's a cop car parked by the gas station. He's always parked in the same spot, and I thought, okay, he's waiting for red light violators, speeders, whatever. I thought, if he's there, I'll give him the cinnamon rolls. Well, guess what? He wasn't there. Instead was a thin, scruffy-looking, weather-beaten, homeless man. He had all his belongings in a cart. Now, surely, I was not going to give up my little sweets to this guy, so I drove on. While heading home, I was wrestling and torn between the desire to eat that yummy sweetness and the inner voice that kept telling me, give your treasure to another, Deb. He obviously could have used the kind gesture. About halfway home, I was thoroughly convicted, and I finally turned the car around. I drove up to the man, and I asked him, are you hungry? He said, yes, ma'am, I'm very hungry. I gave him the four-pack, and I told him these are the very best cinnamon rolls the city of Manteca has to offer. He thanked me for my kindness, and I said, may God bless you. Now, I'd like to think that if it wasn't during the time of COVID, when we didn't really know too much about germs, I would have gotten out of the car and prayed with the man. But the fear of the unknown kept me in my car, and I drove away. And as I went, I was tearfully thanking God for the opportunity and also for my willingness to listen to him, because I don't always listen. So I was very thankful. And sometimes I still pray for that man, because he's been placed on my heart. Now, on that morning, cinnamon roll stories is one proverb. We can sum it up. It's 10:3 that says, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Did I consider myself especially wicked that day? Nope. But I was definitely coveting my cinnamon rolls and laying judgment as to who was worthy. Was this guy worthy of my cinnamon rolls? My judgment. And Romans 12:15 encourages us to meet people where they are, rejoice with those who mourn, rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Well, who can you share with someone in need? Where is God asking you to walk with someone, perhaps someone you don't even know? So let's move on to talents. God has uniquely gifted each of us a bit of talent, not just for personal enrichment, but for the benefit of others. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. He has given us aptitude and capacity. Talent can include concrete skills like teaching, musicality, could be professional skills, technical skills, those kind of things. I know there's a lot of talent in this room, and every Sunday we get to witness the talent of our worship team. Yep, there's a lot of talent, but there's also involved skills. But on the other side there, Kim's voice is pleasing. Her ability is just more than skill. She is a special gift from God. Her voice is a special gift. And on most Sundays, you can find Kim right here, giving of herself for God's glory and for our benefit. Kim is like the psalmist who sings joyfully to the Lord. For God is good, and his love endures forever. Now, Lizzie, who's not here today, is another example of talent. She's not just an excellent children's pastor, she's also a superb hairstylist, and she has taken her skills to the street. She's gone out, met the homeless where they are, and cut their hair. Through those haircuts, Lizzie has given individuals a bit of their dignity. It's a nice thing to have a shower and a fresh haircut. So yes, Lizzie is also trained, but there is some God-given innate creativity that she shares with her community. And Lizzie's kindness is a living example of Proverbs 14:21. It is sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. So instead of oppressing the poor, Lizzie conveyed hope in a difficult time. Now, I'm not suggesting you all go out and cut each other's hairs, because you can imagine how funny that would be. It might be interesting. So while we're thinking about hair, Proverbs 16:31 thrills me. It says, "Great way of righteousness." I'll say that again because my mic. Gray hair is a crown of splendor, and it is attained in the way of righteousness. So I'm claiming it. Righteous hair. Now, as brethren, we believe that it's how we live our lives that brings others to our door. We live compartmentalized lives. Our love for Jesus is found in various ways. How we treat the homeless person that we find in our church parking lot, or how we speak to our children at home when no one's listening, no one's watching. His generosity is found in as we bring TP to a local shelter who has run out of supplies during a pandemic, or potato chips to a neighbor who's sheltered in place. There's lots of opportunities. Is God's word flowing from our minds to our hearts, relayed through our obedient hands and feet? It's our minds to our hearts, to our hands, to our feet. And to quote Brethren Pastor Nate Bebout, every single thing that happens in a day is an opportunity to glorify God and to bless others in Jesus' name. Every single thing is an opportunity. I say, see him, see his people. So how will you take the initiative? Where can you share the creativity that's inside of you? Now, talents, we're still there, can also be soft skills. Abilities to enable someone to interact and communicate well with others. Skills like collaboration, exhortation, those kind of things. And we can be generous with our words. And in doing so, we not only encourage and build up the listener, but we also encourage ourselves. And Proverbs has quite a few things to say about the tongue. I'll just give you a few. 15:1, a gentle answer turns away or diffuses wrath, but a harsh word stirs up, kindles anger. And gracious words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And perhaps there's some of you who are generous when you're not sharing what you're thinking. 11:12 says, whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. I know how hard it is to hold your tongue. I have trouble holding mine. I don't always do a very good job. You can ask this sweet man up here, my husband Dave. He might share. How about you? Is it easy to hold your tongue? No, probably not. And some people joke about not having a filter. That's something new. They even seek to use crafty words for insult and deception. 26:18-19 warns us, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows at death is the one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. As we know, our tongues often get us into trouble. We can say either encouraging things or things that destroy. Out of our mouths come both praise and cursing. We have both. For more about God's thoughts on the tongue, you can read James chapter 3, because there's a whole section there about how to tame the tongue. It's not easy. And there's an easy, useful acronym that'll help us be mindful of our words. And this went around a couple years back, so you might have seen it. It's Think Before You Speak, THINK. And you ask yourself these questions before you pipe into the conversation. Do you know what you were saying is accurate. And today, truth is kind of in flux. It's not as easy though as it once was to know what's truthful, because it means different things to different people. But one thing that we know is true is God's word. It's entirely true, always true, and is firmly fixed in the heavens. H, is it helpful? What's your intent with your words? Will your words help another to grow? I, is it inspiring? Will your words motivate another? The right words shared at the right time give hope, encouragement to move forward. N, is it necessary? To quote Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. I like that one. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Is that you, or are you dying to speak? Are your words essential? K is for kind. The world can be an unkind place. Are your words considerate? Are your words a soothing balm that benefits another? Sweet to the soul, healing to the bones? Now, what we say, it truly is important. So who needs to hear charitable words from you? A person can also be generous with their ears. When we listen to the worries of another, in a sense, we help them carry their burdens. By simply listening, we can fill a void. Being heard can satisfy a deep-seated human need, the need to be understood and valued. Someone who takes the time to be present, really listening to another, giving undivided attention, is a true blessing. So listen well, and remember you have two ears and only one mouth. Now, a person can also be generous with forgiveness. Is it easy to overlook the wrongs of another, or are you the type that needs a spotlight, the indiscretion? Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. We are to be forgers of unity, not gossipers yielding division. And God is the one who truly forgives. God's greatest act of generosity is his everlasting covenant with us. That's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, looking around, I know most of you. I know that you know about your need for Jesus. So I won't take you down the Romans road or some other formulaic explanation. I'll just give you the bottom line. God is holy. We are not. There is a division or between us. Jesus lived as a man and died to bridge that gap, providing a path, the only way, back to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, generously gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him generously might be saved. That, my friends, is God's greatest, grandest gesture of generosity to you and me. Eternal security is kept safely in store for those who are redeemed and cleansed from sin by Jesus. And if you'd like to talk with someone about Jesus, or you need to see the path back to God, you can reach out to any of our pastors, leaders, the worship team. They'll be happy to share with you their experiences with God's grace in their own lives. So just a few final thoughts about our equipping. Whatever God has given us, we are responsible to him. And then one day, he's going to require an answer as to how we used our specific resources. And I can say with certainty, giving generously to others, to ourselves, is not always easy. Let me say that again. Giving generously of ourselves to others is not always easy. The ability to do so might be something that we need to flex like a muscle. Flex those muscles. Generosity, it also may be trust. We can trust in God, trust in his promises, and trust in his wisdom. Proverbs 35 says, 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So standing with God behind his shield is a place from which to persevere, a place to be secure. He is our safe harbor. 10:29 says, the way of the Lord is refuge for the blameless, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. So I ask, is God your refuge? I hope so. Generosity also may require discipline. So don't be the unbridled fool. Don't run the other way. Proverbs 10:17, whoever heeds discipline shows the way of life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. So if you need to, make a U-turn. Run ASAP. And if today you just can't make that U-turn, at least don't take your friends down the path with you. And generosity may also require faith. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, every single need. We can have faith, we can stand with God, knowing that he will provide, knowing that our promise keeper has planned only his very best for us. So standing up here today, speaking to you is an act of giving. God graciously gave me the time to prep. God graciously has given me the words. And it's an act of faith on my part because I'm trusting him. I'm trusting that he's going to give something to you that you can take home into your week. Lastly, generosity may also require our discernment. And us brethren value the guidance of God's Spirit, what we call the inner voice. We are rooted in the teachings of Jesus and seek illumination from that Spirit. Believers have that inner voice. 1 Cor 12:7 says, to each one a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And his Spirit works in tandem with his word, both of which help us sort this life out as we seek to serve God and each other and our community. Now the Spirit will assist you in managing your gifts responsibly. Just ask. Ask for guidance. Ask for eyes to see opportunity, and then allow the Spirit to be present in your life in fresh ways and with new power. His influence will magnify God in your life, growing your relationship with him and his people. So I'll invite the worship team to come back at this time. Now, we are to be God's witness to each other and our neighbors. 2 Cor 3:2-3 says, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So what kind of letter are you? What do people read when they see you? As you are able, be the love of Jesus that someone sees and experiences. Love unbroken people just like Jesus does. And you can ask yourself these questions. How am I investing my resources? Am I like Leanna, willing to attend to another? How am I spreading my treasure? Can I be like Deb and share those cinnamon rolls? How am I using my talent? Am I like Kim and Lizzie, joyfully leading and serving? I encourage you to be kind, compassionate, and generous with one another, forgiving your brother and sister just as God has forgiven you. I ask, who has God placed on your heart this morning as I have been speaking? Who needs your generosity, and how will you act upon it?
Please stand with us now.